The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, Sunshine, and welcome to She Was the Fire. It's time to stop dancing in the dark. Let's start your fire and ignite your spark. I'm Courtney Mangan. Welcome to episode 33, and this is my final episode for the year that's like a mainstream Tuesday episode. We still have one more coming up with a court report on Friday, but this will be my last Tuesday episode. 33 episodes, can you believe it? And this one is all about recapping the year that was 2020. So before I get into today's episode, as always, share this podcast, word of mouth, you know all the stuff. I'm not going to go into it. You do it every week and I appreciate it, so keep on going. All right, what I've been up to. I actually didn't write any notes for what I've been up to. I forgot to do that. What have I been up to? Well, I've been going to these one-on-one dinners with my team. I think I've covered it before, but we're going to dinners with a bunch of our sort of senior, well, not senior, like longer standing staff, I guess, and some of the staff who are a bit newer are getting lunches, and the evening dinner ones with the longest standing staff, we are doing one-on-ones with their spouses or their partners at the same time. So it's like, you know, I'm going to dinner with Tamara and her partner with Sam and I. They get to choose the restaurant, so I'm getting to try some new restaurants. Etsu was last night, which I haven't been to before, which I really liked. So it's been literally back-to-back, night after night. I've had so many events on. My house is a pigsty. I get home at pretty much like 5:30, 6 every day, quickly get change, and then I'm out the door at dinner, and then I'm getting home at like 10 o'clock and just pretty much hitting the pillow. It's been pretty hectic. I have a lunch today with two of my team. We're going to Madame Foo's, which I've never been to before, so hopefully that will be good. And then tonight I have an event for YCL, which is a jewelry brand that I love. They're having like a sip and shop kind of evening. And then on Friday, tomorrow, I have immunotherapy. And then Saturday I have like, I'm having like a little games night with some friends over cocktails and games. And then, yeah, next week is the week you're listening to this will be my final week at work. We finish up on the 17th, and then on the 18th is our work Christmas party, and we are going to 19. So we're pretty excited about that. It's been hard to kind of figure out what to do for a Christmas party this year because there's been so many COVID rules and we've got such a bigger team compared to last year. So trying to figure out like a place that we could like, can we stand? Can we sit? Are we allowed to dance? Are we allowed to drink? Like, what are the rules? So it's been a little bit complicated, but we've settled on 19, which is fabulous. That's pretty much all I've been doing this week is just eating out. And as much as that's like a dream for me, who hates to cook and clean up after like all the dishes and stuff of cooking, it's also been a lot because I haven't been able to do any work at night or tidy anything at the house. I'm walking in just dumping stuff on my table, on my bed, and then racing out the door. And so my house is feeling very cluttered. I just had a dining room table delivered yesterday. My mum went over to my house and waited for the delivery man for me, thankfully. I got a new dining table because the one I have, I sat on it with my desk for months and months and months during isolation. I used it as a desk. And now I realize, like, what the fuck? This is the smallest dining table ever. Not acceptable. Needed an upgrade. So mum and dad actually bought me a dining table for my Christmas present. So that has arrived. Christmas came early. So dad's going to put it together for me on the weekend. So I'm excited for that. Anyway, that's pretty much all I've been up to. We're doing staff evaluations this time of year. So I have to go through and sit down with the staff and go over like, you know, the year that was with them, where they're at with their skills, what we're working on next year, what they've grown in this year, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much it. All right, today's fire starter. I wanted like a joyful New Year's Eve kind of song. So we're going with Raise Your Glass by Pink because this episode is all about the year that was and we're just like recapping everything. And so here are some lyrics that have resonated. So raise your glass if you're wrong in all the right ways, all my underdogs. We will never be, never be anything but loud and nitty gritty, dirty little freaks. Won't you come on and raise your glass. And one of the things I'll talk about today was that this year was a lot about me becoming more of who I am. And I feel like that song kind of reflects that. And it's kind of like a celebration, like raise your glass, end of the year kind of song. So that will be added to my Firestarter playlist, which you'll be able to find through the links in the show notes, or you can just type my name into Spotify. All right, let's ignite today's topic, the year that was 2020. I went through all of my Instagram content in my archive, like my Insta stories, to kind of have a look at what had happened this year and like made a list of everything that I'd done. I realized like that's going to be the longest podcast ever. So then I decided to kind of do categories instead and kind of go like highlights, lowlights, lessons learned, that kind of thing. But it has been a crazy year. Just to think like that this year, at the start of the year, like the bushfires that, you know, devastated Australia. And then obviously there was COVID. And then we had, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement. Kobe Bryant passed away. Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Get it out right, Courtney. You know, Harvey Weinstein was convicted. We all watched Tiger King. You know, it just feels like it was a crazy time ago. Like Tiger King feels like it was 2 years ago. I can't even believe it was this year. And I was looking through my Insta, I noticed that like the Oscars happened this year, you know, the Golden Globes happened, the Grammys happened. Just, I don't know. I just remember that this year, like that everything was cancelled, but actually at the start of the year, it wasn't all cancelled. And so, yeah, it's just been like a crazy time for us all. So many people have, you know, lost their jobs, lost their businesses. You know, unfortunately, some people have lost their lives through COVID. It's been like a hectic time of year. Australia hasn't obviously had it as bad as some other countries in the world, so that, you know, obviously we're thankful for that. But, you know, that's not to minimise that a lot of people in Australia have still had it really rough this year. But then there are some people who have had some silver linings this year. And I guess I'm probably one of those people. So, yeah, I just thought I'd recap a little bit of what happened. So I think this year was for me the year of like trying new things, I guess, because I was trying to change my mindset from a pragmatic mind to a positive mind. So I, you know, tried lots of meditation. I took several meditation courses. And I can happily say now at the end of it, it's not for me. I've tried really hard, but for me, listening to my favorite songs just calmly, that's what's my form of meditation, I think. I can't just do this switch my mind off completely in silence or even a guided meditation. I really struggled to do for more than like 3 minutes. It just wasn't refreshing me or recharging me. So I tried it. It's not for me. Another thing that I kind of got into this year was lots of courses. I've never done so many different courses. Some of them were work growth. Some of them were personal growth. You know, I took like, I want to say about 10 different courses this year. And I also started reading so many self-help books, which is not a category of book that I had ever really read before. And I started listening to so many podcasts around self-help as well and around business growth. Up until this year, I was pretty much exclusively like crime podcasts, celebrity pop culture podcasts. And now I'm getting more into that tangible tips and advice kind of category. So that's been quite interesting. I started my daily ritual this year, which was obviously, you know, doing the thought of the day quotes every morning. So that was something that's really enjoyable that I started this year. And also my Dance It Out song, which is that, you know, I just turn a song up really loud the morning of immunotherapy and dance out all of my stress. It just gets me in a really great frame of mind for the day. And that's something that you guys were voting on the songs on my Insta story. Not voting, but you were submitting songs, recommending songs every 2 weeks. And that was really fun. Obviously, I did my fertility stuff. I started my cancer treatment. I had cancer treatment. You know, I had very bad reactions to the treatment. They had to change it many times. You know, what I do now is so different from what a majority of people who get immunotherapy have. Immunotherapy for most people is 30-minute session in and out. For me, it's anywhere between like 4 to 6, 7 hours every 2 weeks. Most people get it every month. My body can't handle that much of a dosage, so I have to split it up over 2 weeks. Every fortnight. You know, I had countless PET scans this year, countless blood tests this year. It's been like a lot of tests. It's been a very medical-based year for me. I changed my diet. I got into exercise. That all kind of went out the window after isolation, to be honest. Well, my diet changed back. I had like I changed to like high fiber and fermented kind of food, which is supposed to be really good for cancer treatment. So I did that during the period where I, you know, still had cancer. And then after I got the all clear, I was like, I'm done with those weird foods. So yeah, that was basically what happened for me this year. I was in several media stories. You know, I had several media stories around my side hustle launch and also around skin cancer awareness, which I had never been in any media stories really before. So that was exciting. But yeah, it was a year of like kind of new things for me, starting new rituals, starting new learnings, trying out things. I got more into cooking than I ever have before. I think a lot of us did that during ISO. I've never really been one to try, you know, recipes I've seen online. I never really like meal prepped or any of that kind of stuff. And I was getting a lot more adventurous with the things that I was cooking. So that was really good. It's all gone out the window now, of course. But yeah, that was kind of what my year was all about. But let's break it down into like the categories that I've set out here today. So we're going to start with the lowlights, because then we'll finish on a high, I guess. So the lowlights personally, I've broken everything up into personal and work. So the lowlights personally for me were obviously like, you know, going through the cancer treatment. That has been really difficult. It's also like, I guess, a highlight because the fact that I have access to this, I'm privileged enough to be able to get this treatment, that this treatment even exists, that my government, you know, pays for me to get this treatment. I come from a place of privilege being able to say that this was a low light. You know, I understand that. But it's been hard, I'm not going to lie. Treatment has been fucked. you know, being a 34-year-old woman who has just lost 50 kilos and should feel like she has more energy than ever. And, you know, also the mental side of the cancer was that I became so highly motivated and energized to take on my life and take on new challenges. But my body wasn't keeping up with my brain, which was a really hard thing, you know, and it's daunting because, like, for example, I'm about to go to Sydney. So if with my family, we're going to Sydney for 3 days, Canberra for 3 days, and then we come back for 1 day and then we go to Hamilton Island. And I have to get treatment tomorrow, so this Friday. Then I have to get it next Saturday, the day before we leave, because we go on the Sunday. And for me to have it 2 weeks in a row, I've never done that before. So that's going to be a lot on my body already. And I'm going to be very tired. And I'm traveling, even though it's just an hour to Sydney, I travel very badly. My body is super dramatic when it comes to travel. So I travel very badly. And then on top of that, like, we're walking around the city doing lots of shopping. My parents are like, go, go, go when it comes to shopping. They take it very seriously. We'll be in and out of all the different shops and it's a mixture. We'll be in Louis Vuitton and we'll be in Dior and then we'll be in fucking Zara and H&M. And then Dad will want to go back again the next day just in case there was something that he missed. They'll want to go back and try on the same outfit again just because they're not sure about it. So there'll be lots and lots and lots of walking. My parents don't like to get Ubers places because they feel like they can walk. So I'm not going to lie, I'm a little daunted about what that's going to do to my body and how, like, I'll be able to tolerate, I guess, that straight after 2 back-to-back immunotherapies, which I've never done before. So I'm a little scared. And so it has been a bit of a low light, feeling so mentally energized and wanting to go, 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 but then feeling like your body hasn't been able to keep up with you. That has been hard. It's also been hard getting so many tests that put this stress on you mentally that you're like, every time I go for a PET scan, it's like, don't find any cancer, don't find any cancer, don't find any cancer. And that waiting game, waiting for the results, you know, it does take a mental toll on you. And so I guess that has been one of the low lights this year. And also, you know, my uncle passed away this year, my dad's brother, in February, and I was probably at my lowest point, I would say, during this process, right before we got the call that he was in hospital. And I put a video out on Valentine's Day expressing that I was at a very, you know, I was very upset. I was in a bad place mentally. And then everyone was like, it'll get better. Tomorrow will be a better day. And then tomorrow was certainly not a better day at all, because that was when my uncle passed away from cancer, which of course then adds on like a whole other thing, you know, to me. So that was obviously a very low point for our family and for me personally, to see somebody pass away with cancer when I at that point had cancer as well. And then I think the other low light, which is going to sound really, look, as you know, this is all about honesty. My podcast is not about me making myself look good. Neither is my Insta story. It's all about, you know, obviously sometimes I'll be gloating and saying things that do make me look good, but that's not the aim of it. it's about me sharing what the fuck is going on and what's happening with my life. And, you know, hopefully that helps either like inspire you, motivate you, or feel heard and seen, or give you some ideas, whatever it is. But I did find a low light was when I found out I didn't have cancer this year. And maybe I should do a whole episode on that in the future. But that was actually very hard to work towards something for so long and then during isolation be sitting alone in my apartment and get the news and then be like, what now? Like, it almost felt like cancer had become a part of me and then it was kind of taken away and it was like, oh my gosh. And I've spoken to some other cancer patients who had a similar experience. So apparently it is something that happens, but you expect to be so over the moon, excited, like jumping for joy. But then there's that balance of, but I've still got to go through treatment that makes me feel sick. And like, who am I now without this cancer kind of vibe? So that was a bit of a low light as well. It didn't last for very long. But that was a stage where I was very confused about how I was reacting to that news. I think I've talked about it on a podcast a little bit before. Maybe it's something I'll go into. If it is, let me know. But it is a little bit hard to talk about because I do feel like people would be like, oh my God, like, does this girl ever stop whinging? How ungrateful. But it's hard unless you're in the position to quite understand what it's like to change your whole life to work towards something and then for you to wake up the next day and it's just gone, but nothing has actually changed. Do you know what I mean? Like, you might work your whole life towards launching a business and then you launch the business and it's out there in the world and then you're getting feedback and there's a tangible kind of result. But with the cancer, I just wake up the next day and it's like nothing has changed. Is it there? Is it not there? Like, what's happening? You know, who am I when I'm not telling this story? All of that kind of stuff. So anyway, I don't want to go into it too much, but yeah, you've heard all before. I did an Insta story, IGTV, pretty much straight after it. So it's there if you want to know more. Anyway, so those were kind of the personal lowlights for me. The business lowlights, well, I guess that it was like quite a scary time. Like, I'm not going to lie, being a business owner during this period of COVID initially was fucking terrifying. You know, like, you turn on the news for everyone, not even just business owners, but obviously I'm speaking from my perspective, you're turning on the news and before the government had kind of announced like we're going to, you know, give money to help you with your employees, all that kind of stuff, tax breaks, all that kind of shit. It was like, what the hell is happening here? The world is ending. Is my business going to go up in flames? Like, what's going on? It was a very scary time to, you know, what the hell, you know, for a business. So that was definitely like the initial stages of figuring out that landscape with COVID as a business was definitely a low light, to the point where I had to stop turning the news on because it was getting me so stressed about like, where is this leading, you know? And I guess some other low lights are that we had some things that were exciting that were cancelled because, you know, we do a lot in the event space and stuff like that, which we couldn't do. And there were a lot of delays with getting things here, you know, all of those just normal business operating things that were, you know, struggles during COVID. I guess that those were all the low lights. And I think the other low light for me, for my business, was probably the side effects of the immunotherapy in that it has impacted my clarity, I guess you would say, and my productivity and my memory. And as you know, I hold productivity very high on my priority list. But it has meant that I am not anywhere near as productive as I used to be. I'm working at half the pace. So what I would get done in 8 hours now takes me 16 hours essentially to get done. Like, it just takes me double the time to get everything. Feels like a hard slog because my brain does not fire like it used to. That's me clicking my fingers. It just doesn't, you know, if I sit down, I'm writing a social media caption on Instagram, it'll take me twice as long to think of something creative to say because it's just my brain isn't firing like it used to and I forget things so easily and it's just so quick. Like, I could walk to the fridge and I don't know why I'm at the fridge. It's quick like that. And then it's like, hang on, it'll come to me. What am I doing? What was I doing? Retrace my steps. There it is. And it always comes back to me, but it takes that just extra time for me to, it's like I can feel like my brain trying to find it. It's like it's sorting through the files. Where is it? Where is it? There it is. Whereas before it would just be a seamless kind of, I'd know why I was standing at the fridge, but that hasn't been like the reality this year. And that has been difficult, being that I have always sort of prided myself on being able to be highly functioning at work and getting everything done really quickly and being on top of everything. You know, all of a sudden now staff are saying, oh, what about this? And I'm like, refresh my memory. Or even, you know, and I don't know that my staff have even really picked up on it. They probably think I'm not listening. And that's probably what they're thinking. But a lot of the time they'll say to me like, oh, you know, Courtney, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'll be like, sorry, what was that? Because like as they've said it, it's already gone. I've already forgotten it. It's just out of my memory. I didn't retain the information at all. So there's been a lot of me asking people to repeat themselves this year, which is super frustrating for people to have to do. I hate fucking repeating myself and now I'm asking everyone else to do it. But it's just because my brain isn't just firing the way that it was. And that has also been quite difficult this year. That's been like a low light because I want to get a lot of shit done, you know. And that hasn't been a possibility. So I'm looking forward to immunotherapy being over in February so that I can get on with shit. I think that these are just side effects that are just during the treatment. I'm hoping they're not permanent. All right. So I think that those were the main lowlights. Obviously, you know, like COVID as a whole has been fucking terrible. Being afraid for my family's health as well, you know, like your parents, they can be impacted if they got COVID. I wouldn't be able to get cancer treatment if I had gotten COVID, all that kind of stuff. Seeing friends and family losing jobs, it's been bloody horrible in that respect. You know, it's been a really tough year. Seeing some of the horrible stuff that went on in America this year during the Black Lives Matter has been horrible, but then also seeing, you know, the great response around people being educated about Black Lives Matter on Instagram and social media, all that kind of stuff has been really great as well. So it's been just a year of like good and bad, I think. It's been such a, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's been hard to feel like you can be grateful for this year because there have been so many good things that have come out of very bad things. And you almost feel like you're a bad person by saying like, I found silver linings. But that's the reality, isn't it? Like each of us have to find something that gets us through. And there have been silver linings this year if you sit down and have a look at them. You know, and obviously, you know, some people have passed away from COVID or just generally, you know, from other diseases and things. So I'm not speaking for everyone. But, you know, generally, even though it has been a rough year, I think that everybody learned a lot this year. I think that maybe we all needed this chance to kind of like slow down, essentially. I do have that in one of my highlights that as horrific as this pandemic has been and how bad it has been for so many people, some of us needed to just sit down, you know, just take a minute, just sit down and stop. And that has been something that I found to be good. Being at home in isolation for 3 months for me was actually really beneficial because it gave me the chance to really sit down and reflect and think about like, what am I doing? Where am I headed? Which, you know, in my business, it's so fucking fast paced here that we just don't get the time to really reflect very much. So I feel like that was a silver lining to a lot of these bad things. And again, I just want to make sure that I'm not minimizing anything that anybody's been through, but I am trying to find positives in the bad things that have happened because that's all we can really do. I don't want to sit down and wallow and be like, this year was a fucking disaster when there were some good things, you know? So yeah, all right, let's get into the highlights then. Like let's get off that, the lowlights. I think we all know fucking COVID 2020, what the lowlights were. My highlights were, I think during COVID, as I got my cancer diagnosis in December, I started sharing more of my life on Insta Story. But it was during COVID that I really started ramping it up even more. And I was giving productivity tips and I was sharing insights to my work day and, you know, or giving reviews of things, cooking with Courtney, all of that stuff kind of started during ISO. And sharing my life on Instagram has been very rewarding. That has been a highlight this year. I've, you know, made some great Instagram friends and I've just gotten some really great feedback. I've helped some other people. It's helped me sort some stuff out. It's been like a visual diary, I guess, that I'm sharing with everyone, getting things off my chest. You know, it's helped me become more of myself, become more confident in myself. So that's been a really good highlight as well. Obviously cancer-free. That's the fucking top highlight. I should have said that first. Finding out I didn't have cancer in April, I think it was April 22nd, was a highlight. It was definitely a surreal experience to be just sitting in an apartment by yourself, literally on a Zoom call, finding out from a doctor that you don't have. I was on the phone to my doctor and I had muted all of my staff on the Zoom call. I was in the middle of a staff meeting and I said, one moment, I just have a phone call. I muted them. I'm still on camera. I'm getting the news from my doctor. I'm crying and my staff are looking at me like, what's happening? Is it good news? Is it bad news? Oh my God, is that her doctor? What's going on? So that was like an interesting moment. But yeah, obviously that was like a big highlight. Another highlight has been finding my passion and getting that drive to really do my own thing and come into my own. And that's just starting, and I'm not perfect at it. And, you know, every day I'm getting better and better at, you know, being more confident in myself, and I still have self-doubt just like everybody, but I am becoming better at it, that's for sure, and really getting that drive to like what I want to do with my life, where I'm headed, all of that kind of stuff. Another highlight was starting She Was the Fire. If you're an OG kind of listener, you would know that I had another podcast called The Pop Culture Club, and I'm obsessed with pop culture. As you know, I do a court report every month. And I would just kind of talk about on that every week different things that were happening with celebrities. As much as I liked talking about that stuff, it wasn't like really resonating with you guys. We weren't really getting many listeners. And over time, after doing it for so long, I just became like it felt like a chore every week. And so during COVID, just like a lot of people starting their own podcast during COVID, I decided like maybe I should do something that's like an extension of my Insta story, because people seem to really like that content, and that's how She Was the Fire was born. And I'm just so happy that I did that. At first, there was that self-doubt, being like, who the fuck do you think you are? And you're going to talk for 45 minutes, an hour by yourself? Like, who do you think you are? Nobody wants to hear from you. And there's like, even that, I was just thinking, there's that review that someone's left. I have like one negative review that says like, you know, she constantly just talks about herself. It's like, yep, this podcast is literally just about me. But that's what it is. Like, I'm talking about myself in order to tell you like what I've learned and how I've grown, and maybe that can help you. But yeah. It's each their own. I'm not everybody's cup of tea, you know. It is what it is. Starting She Was the Fire has been like so rewarding, and I just feel like so much more connected to my community through starting this podcast. And I just feel like, because, you know, I can go on and on and on, ramble. I needed this extra time. I couldn't do 45 minutes on an Insta story, you know. And then the billboard was obviously a highlight, seeing my name, although like obviously my brother purchased it for me. Seeing my like podcast up there and like people being like, oh my God, I saw your billboard, was a really exciting thing this year. And also getting those media stories, like even though it's like obviously very, it's an ego thing, right? Seeing your face in the paper and seeing your name on a billboard, it's still really fucking exciting. And then the other thing, as I said, that a highlight personally was COVID giving me the chance to slow down. At the start of the year, I guess at the end of last year, which I've said before, one of my first thoughts was, what if I die? And one of the main things I kind of thought about was this business, Spin & Co., the staff, and that I'm a control freak, and that I had put this business in a position and put Sam in a position, because my job is to kind of look after the team. That's like our roles within Spin & Co., that's my role. And I had put this business in a position whereby if I wasn't there, people didn't feel independent enough to make their own decisions. People weren't feeling that they could be creatively free because they had to run everything past me. And so I had micromanaged the business within an inch of its life. And I didn't like that. I was like, oh, I'm so sick of everyone asking me all these stupid fucking questions. But I had created my own monster because I made everybody check everything with me. And so nobody was, you know, feeling like they could have any control over what they were doing because I was controlling everything. And whilst, you know, you want to be hands-on in your business, I was too hands-on. You know, I had my hand around their neck essentially. So I needed to fix that because I thought like, if I die, what's going to fucking happen? Sam will be left with a bunch of staff who are like, oh, we don't know. We check everything with Courtney. We don't really know what to do. You know, like obviously I wouldn't want to take credit for everything. The staff do have their own brains and whatever, but there's just an aspect of that everything was being run past me. Nobody was really thinking for themselves as much as they should have been. And I understand that was of my own doing. And so I had this thought, I need to fix that. If something happens to me, these people need to be able to stand alone and make sure that the business runs like if I was there or I wasn't there, it didn't make a bit of difference. And that was my goal this year. And so I went hard at the start of the year trying to train my staff, work with my staff. I did so much stuff to try to get everybody up to scratch to the point where they didn't need me. And that came at like the perfect just in time for COVID. If I had have left it, not done any of that before COVID, it would have been like a bit of a nightmare. To be honest, everybody working from home and no one being able to make a decision would have been a nightmare. But yeah, the staff have done so good and they tolerated and put up with me being like a bit of a crazy person trying to get everyone on top of it. It wasn't easy. At times it was uncomfortable for me to be like, you know, no, you shouldn't answer that yourself. What do you think the answer is? That's uncomfortable. It's a lot easier to go like, oh, I'll just do it myself. It's easier. That's a lot easier. It's more time consuming, sure. But in the long run, that's not how you should be running a successful business. So we did a lot of work around that this year. And I was going really hard at trying to do a lot of things, work all the hours. The doctors were saying to me, you have to slow down. And I just wasn't. At that point, the immunotherapy hadn't really given me many side effects. So I was just kind of go, go, go. But it was COVID that kind of forced me to slow down and be quiet with myself and figure out where I was going, what I was doing personally, not just stuff for the business. And so that was sort of something that was, I guess, like a personal highlight for me, because even though COVID was dreadful, it did force me to do that. And I felt like I needed that because maybe I would have burnt out if I was going at that pace. I probably wouldn't have been able to keep going at that pace once I got the side effects anyway. But yeah, I think that COVID kind of forced me to. And that was when I started doing a lot of courses and stuff like that, because I had this extra time. Obviously, we were still working from home, but work did slow down a bit. And you know, all that time of getting dressed in the morning, putting makeup on, driving to work, all that kind of stuff, all the interruptions I get throughout the day from staff, none of that was happening. And so I did have time up my sleeve to do other things. And that was like really assess what I was doing. And yeah, that was, I guess, a personal highlight for me, that I was able to sort of gather my thoughts. And then work highlights for 2020. Was, I guess, the wild ones. I think for the podcasting studio, they hit 1 million downloads this year and they're going to finish on over 3.5 million, which is just so exciting to think, you know, that I think for me it was a bit more of a personal win, because we had approached the Wild Ones at a point where I wasn't super confident in myself or my own choices, not my personal choices, but like business. I didn't think of myself as I do now, I guess. And Sam had said, who do you think we should approach to do a podcast? And I had said these, you know, two fun-loving party girls who maybe at the time, Sam might have been like, okay, random. It wasn't anybody that was in our circle. You know what I mean? The other people we were approaching were influencers we had worked with all the time and we knew really well. Lucy and Nikki at that point were just people that I had followed pretty much. We had worked with them one time through Pacific Fair, but other than that, they were like a bit of an unknown quantity. I didn't really know them personally. So it was a bit of a gamble. I just thought like, no, I think these girls really have something. They have like this ability to make a community, and like not a lot of influencers have that. It's, you know, it's one thing to get followers, people who want to just double tap your photos and like your content. It's another to have them be invested in you and want to buy your merch, buy your fashion label, buy the things that you do sponsor on, you know, listen to your podcast every week, join a private Facebook group, all of that kind of stuff. That's a very different level of engagement that you need. People need to feel connected to you, and not everybody can do that. And I felt like I would want to listen to that podcast with the girls, even though I am not a partier. I don't go to festivals. I don't party, but I just was so intrigued by their realness. And so I pitched them and I felt like, shit, a bit of a risk, but they went, you know, number one in their first week on the charts. And then since then, I've just been like going from stride to stride. 1 million, they're going to finish on 3 million. And this year they also got silver at the Listener's Choice Award for the Australian Podcast Award, which is just fucking massive. So it's just like they're so amazing, those girls. They do such a good job and they just know exactly what their community want to hear from them. And like, you know, well, they share so much of their lives in order to connect with their community and give them what they want. It's amazing. But yeah, it's definitely been a highlight for me to be a part of that and feel like that, you know, that gamble that I took recommending them paid off, which feels really good. Another work highlight I would say would definitely be signing James Charles, who, if you don't know, he's like one of the biggest, you know, online personalities that there is, one of the biggest people in the beauty industry, that's for sure. And that was, you know, that's for an Australian company is massive. Another one was our team growing. You know, we've basically almost doubled our staff this year. And during a very scary time for a lot of businesses who are firing staff, for us to be hiring staff was just so, you know, I'm just so grateful that we were able to do that. And we've hired staff in all different departments, all different capacities within our business. We've gotten on some really great, amazing team members, and it's just been like amazing to see the team grow, you know, and all of us sort of grow together has been really good. It's always scary as a business owner to put in new staff into the mix when you have sort of like a finely tuned machine. At one point, I think we hired 4 or 5 people on the same day, all full-time staff coming in, hit the ground running. That's a lot to add into a business to go like, oh God, like, is that going to upset the balance that we have going on here? But it has been like, I'm really proud of the place that we are at the minute. Not to say it has been easy, definitely not. Having that many new staff members starting during a very stressful time in the world is a lot, but it's been really rewarding seeing everybody grow and everyone get to know each other and the team sort of getting to work together and collaborate together has been really nice. And the other thing was, I think, seeing the team come together during COVID. As I said, my job has been to kind of manage the staff. And so knowing how difficult it was for people to work from home, I was really like, took it upon myself to make sure that I made people know that they weren't alone. We're still a team. We're still working together. This is still a collaborative process because our business is so much about collaboration. And so I worked really hard to do that. So we, you know, you would see on my Insta story that I run energizers during the week. Like, I do games with my staff and stuff. So I did that. We called it Spimbledon. Every day at 2 o'clock, everyone had to jump on Zoom and I would just play little games with them. And then on the weekend, after like the winners of the total round or whatever, I would drop I'd like go to their house and drop it at their front door and then scurry off because of COVID, little prizes at their house and stuff, just to keep everybody feeling like we were all still connected and a part of it. And that was like really not actually nice to see. I think we actually grew closer as a team during that process because some of the games were like one truth, one lie. And so people were telling these really interesting stories. We were getting to know each other a lot more. You know, and I kind of made a rule, Sam and I, that, you know, if try not to do phone calls, try to do FaceTimes when you're having, avoid emails, try and do FaceTime so we're connecting a little bit more. And so, not FaceTime, Zoom, obviously Zoom was the bloody app of the year. It's like, I love seeing that meme about like Skype had like a 14-year head start and then fumbled at the line. But yeah, so it was just, I think, really nice to see how our team grew together through COVID. And I think it did teach Sam and I, well, I can't speak for Sam, but it did teach me a lot because as someone who is a control freak, the thought of someone working from home to me is a load of bullshit. Nobody is working to capacity at home. I'm paying for them to do nothing and watch Netflix. Do you know what I mean? That's always been my perspective. And we also felt because we're in such a collaborative business, things had to be done in the room together. You know, and it kind of did show us that, like, you know, adults can still function and do their job and not watch Netflix during the day. No one's going to try and, like, I was going to say bamboozle you, but like swindle you. You know what I mean? Like, that's not who my staff are. Sure, there are probably people out there like that that do that. And of course, none of us were working like 100% crazy like we would in the office. But it was, you know, it was a learning to show that maybe with technology and with the way that our staff already are, like their values and how we are as a business, that these things can be done from home. So that was an interesting learning as well. Another highlight was the big James Cosmetics campaign. We were working up towards this like really creative launch with, you might have seen it if you've seen it on my Instagram, it's like the neon lights and smoke machines and all that kind of stuff. And we worked for a while to get the creative for that and get that content out there. We'd never really done anything like that before with James Cosmetics, and we were launching these new amazing products. And so that was like and usually it's just like me, Sam and Aaron that worked on these. And then all of a sudden we've got all these new team members to work in this like big project together. And that was really rewarding to see all the work we put in and then to see the photos come out and then to see the sales come through was really rewarding. And then also, of course, just Courtney Mangan Co. was a highlight, just to see that I could do that. in myself. Not even that like the sales went well, just that like I saw that in 45 days I could use relationships that I've been building for years, the skills that I've been building for years, and turn something around really fast. It really reinforced that sort of confidence that I had been building throughout the year. And so I think that that was really rewarding and I'm excited for what next year brings. The biggest lesson that I learned personally, I think, was find out who you are and do it on purpose, that Dolly Parton quote. I've always loved that quote, but I did feel it to be a little bit more true this year. I really did sort of, I felt like come into my own and find out a bit more about who I am as a person and be that on purpose. And I think that that has been really key for me this year. And my biggest work lesson, I think, was delegating and learning not to control everything. The team has come a long way. To their credit, they tolerated a lot of me hounding them to get to certain places. And you know, I have an amazing team here. We have an amazing team here that, you know, Sam has built from, it comes down from the top, you know, and it's just been so nice to see that. I don't even really know, like, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that, like, I was controlling everything and that's not the best way to do things. And I needed this year to kind of learn that. The Cancer taught me that you have to learn to delegate and that you can't always just say, like, I'll just do it myself. It's easier that way. I do it better. I'll just do it myself. You have to show people how to do things. That's why you have teams. That's why you have support around you. So you have to be able to utilize those things. And that was like a big lesson for me this year within the team. And so, yeah, that's, and to be honest, like, maybe I've even let up a little bit too much control now. Where I need to step like a little bit, I think, because I've had like my own personal stuff going on with the Cancer and then also Courtney Mangan Co. I think in the new year I need to sit down and kind of be a little bit more hands-on. I've kind of gone one or two ways, you know what I mean? Like, I need to be able to, I think with the new staff, I kind of treat them a little bit like the old staff, or I was like, here you go run with it. And it's like I probably need to sit down and be like, okay, let's go through the stages and the hurdles together and work together through that. So, yeah, that's probably what my focus will be next year, to find exactly that balance. And it is hard being hands-on and being able to let people do what they need to do on their own as well. But that has been a big lesson for me this year. I also wanted to go over some stats with you just because everybody loves those like Spotify recaps or whatever. So I thought I would do that for some of my content this year. So my song of the year, my most listened to song was Sunday Morning by Maroon 5, randomly. It's actually a playlist that I put together during isolation with like, I don't know, like 100 or something songs in it. And I would play it every day because it would be all different songs in there. I would never listen to the same song all the time. I play that every day during ISO. And the first song on that list is Maroon 5. So I'd sort of hit play and then I'd realize that it was that song and then I'd hit shuffle. So I think that I just, because I kept playing that playlist and that was the number one song, it just kept playing that. That was my number one song. And my number one song that came out this year though was Cardigan by Taylor Swift. And that was what Spotify told me my most listened to song was that came out this year. And, you know, Folklore and Harry Styles' album Fine Lines definitely were my two most listened to albums this year. That's for sure. My top Instagram post with both reach and likes this year was my I'm cancer-free post, which I think would be pretty easy to guess. That was by far and away my most popular post this year. My most popular podcast downloads-wise was The Wild Ones. And the one that doesn't have a guest was Courtney, You Have Stage 4 Cancer. You guys are loving the cancer content, what can I say? And then my highest selling product this year was the quote calendar. So those are kind of the stats for you. I just thought maybe I'd share those. I'm not sure if you're interested, but that's some information. I was interested to find out the information myself. So yeah, I guess thoughts on 2021. I really want to sit down and have a think about what I want to do and where my goals are at and everything like that. So I think in January when I come back for my first episode of the year, I will kind of talk about my plan for 2021 and go over those kind of resolutions. And yeah, I want to be able to take some time while I'm on holidays to kind of sit with it, think about it. What am I doing here? You know, where are we headed? Because I want to be on to bigger and better things. You know, I want to be able to reach more people about protecting the skin they're in and being themselves, finding out who they are and being it on purpose, being confident, helping other women. I also really want to think of a new word for a girl boss. So I understand that you're going boss. Like, it's just boss. We don't need to have girl in front of it. And I get that. I do, because like men don't have to have the term men boss, man boss, boy boss. You know, they don't have to have that. But I also just feel like I feel more connected to the term girl boss. Like, I want a word that's like, it's for the women. You know, like what is the thing? And I know that there are a few of you out there, because I know some of my listeners have actually put it in another Facebook group from another podcast, saying that they loathe the term. And I don't like it either, but it perfectly describes what I want to talk about. So if you've got another term, and I don't really like lady boss or any of those either, and it's like, I don't want to just be like, it's boss content, you know? What do you do? I don't like these gender-specific terms, but then I also like to be like, this is for women. Do you know what I'm saying? Help. Help me. Come and join my Facebook group and let me know what the hell to do. All right. So that's pretty much it. I'll have one final episode of the court report this Friday coming, and that will be, because you voted, it's going to be all of my favorite shows, movies, podcasts, books, food, all that kind of stuff from 2020. All right, on to attitude of gratitude. And I think it was just getting through this year. There's been a lot for all of us. This has been a big year. We just need to get into 2021 now and just forget this year happened pretty much. It was a lot. Some of us had some good things. Some of us had some bad things. There's been a lot of highs, a lot of lows. It's just been really real this year, I think, for all of us. So I'm just grateful that I got through it. My family got through it safe and sound, healthy. And, you know, my business and all of my staff got through that too. So that's what I'm most grateful for. And this year's thought of the week is from Chiara Gizzi. Let go of the past, but keep the lessons it taught you. And I think that that's really key for 2020. All right. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. I'll be back on Friday with a new episode. But in the meantime, bring on 2021 and protect the skin you're in. You can follow me on Instagram at Courtney Mangan and at She Was The Fire. Subscribe and share and all the things. All right. Bye.